It is the 10th of November. 11 games to get through, plus a little segment dedicated to Dyson Daniels because I've been away for a couple of days and I missed his two pretty impressive games. Maybe I just want to talk about Dyson Daniels. This is the post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us on Twitter at FBI Basketball. We are also part of the Old Man Squad. Find them on Twitter at Old Man Squad or go and bother Dan Vesperus. He loves to be bothered. 11 games. I have been away for a couple of days. So I'm just going to cover the Sunday games, but I thought I'd talk a little bit about Dyson Daniels because while I was away, he had a couple of pretty good games. Anyone who follows me or knows me is aware that I was pretty high on him coming into the season as a potential dark horse for steals league leader. He probably is leading the league in steals, actually. Let me just have a look. Full season ranks. Okay, doesn't like that. Let's reset. Okay, play rankings. Let's have a look at steals when it loads. Steals. Dyson Daniels is leading the league in steals with 3.3 sitting behind him. CJ McCollum, obviously he's out, so I'm not going to include him. Jordan Poole is second at 2.1. Scotty Barnes is out. Kevin Love, not going to include him. Jalen Williams sitting at 1.9. So, yeah, Dyson at the moment leading with 3.3. He is the – now, ranks, of course, we talk about this all the time. Ranks do not mean everything, and in this instance, they certainly do not, because Dyson Daniels is the 30th ranked player, but steals are far and away his best category. But that is why I wanted to draft him, because I thought he could lead the league in steals. He's averaging 12.8 points, 4.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 3.3 steals, 0.8 blocks, shooting 45% from the field, 50 from the free throw line, 1.13. So the steals obviously very high. Sustainable? Probably not. Could he average two a game? I think so. I think he could average 2 to 2.5. Let's see where he settles. But the points, 12.8, I think that's probably sustainable. 4.4 rebounds, yes, sustainable. 2.4 assists. I think that could come up slightly. If we look at his game log here, he's sort of around that 2 to 3 each game. This isn't like a situation where he's had a couple of eight assist games and then zeros. He is sitting in that 2 to 3 range, so maybe he can bump that up slightly. Field goal percentage, I think that hovers around 45%. Free throws probably come up slightly closer to 65. And threes might come up a little bit as well. But I think he can probably be top 50. And he was someone that I was sort of taking 100-ish. And he was typically available later. So, yeah. Just a thought, a little opportunity for me to talk about Dyson Daniels. And if we do look at those last two games, he had, where are we, in a loss. They are losses, so the Hawks certainly not traveling too well. They've only won four games. In two losses, he had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 7 steals, 2 blocks. And then he had 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 steals, 0 blocks. But he has got a block shot in sort of half his game. So I do like the not only the steals, but just defensively overall. He is a really good player. This is why I was high on him. So, yeah, anyway, that's why I wanted to talk about him. A couple of comments already. Yes, the refs. I could do a whole pod on what I think about the refs. They haven't been great. And yes, he's looking more and more like Suggs. I think defensively, yeah, look, he's probably in that discussion. Tends to get more steals at the moment. Probably not quite as good a shooter as Jalen Suggs yet, but no, very impressed with what I've seen from Dyson. Anyway, let's get into the games for today. All right, first game. No, that wasn't the first game. Sorry, I was flicking through the box scores. That was it. Where are we? Okay, Houston and Detroit. This was the first game. And Houston get the win 101-99. Now, I was watching this as I was driving home from the coast and then when I got home. So watching what I could and following what I could for the Rockets. Shengun, 27-10. Not surprising against Detroit, who aren't really running with a center. I guess we count Isaiah Stewart as a center. But Shengun dominated this one. Jalen Green, look, he was okay. 15, 5, 3, 2, and 1. Fred VanVleet, he had that hot shooting streak that cooled right off here. 7 points on 3 of 13. I've talked about Jabari Smith a little bit, the fact that I'm a bit worried. I just haven't seen any progression really since he started in the league. 6 points, 7 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Is he droppable? Probably not yet. But it's bloody close, I think. I just don't see the upside at this point. Tari Eason, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, has to be rostered. Amen Thompson, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, probably should be rostered as well. I would rather Tari over Amen at the moment, but no, I think Tari and Amen both need to be rostered at the moment. On to Detroit. Isaiah Stewart, I talked about him. He started for Jalen Duren, who was doubtful, downgraded to out, which we were all expecting. Stewart was pretty good, I guess, for Isaiah Stewart. 16-8 with 2 blocks and a steal. He probably should be rostered as long as Duren is out. His upside's pretty limited, but he's really the only option they've got outside of Paul Reed, and they don't seem to want to give him too many minutes. Tobias Harris, 5 field goals, it's very underwhelming, but he did have 3 steals, 2 blocks, missed a couple of free throws late, 8 rebounds. So everything else is okay. He's just not being assertive on the offensive end at all. Tim Hardaway, Malik Beasley, I've talked about these guys all year, 3-point streaming guys. Cade Cunningham, 26, 8, and 9. So that not a triple-double, but pretty close. Jaden Ivey, 8 points on 4 of 15 shooting. This is going to happen with Jaden Ivey. We know that he does have some issues there. On to the next game. Boston and the Bucks. Boston get the win 113-107. What is going on out there? Someone drilling. Boston get the win. Jaylen Brown returned 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. In his 37 minutes, not his best game, but the fact he was back was really good. And I think probably the bigger issue or the bigger takeaway here is that Brown returning, Nemeas Kida only played 20 minutes. Cornet played 5 minutes. So a lot of those guys are losing the value there when Brown returns. Tatum, really good. Horford doing Horford things. Derek White, Drew Holiday. Not much to talk about. There never is. Peyton Pritchard continues to shoot the ball really well and is obviously a must roster. Nemeas Kida, if you'd been streaming him, you can probably move on. For the Bucks, Andre Jackson, when he moved into the starting lineup on Friday, I think he had 4 steals. And since then, he's done nothing and only played 23 minutes here. AJ Green, and this is without Gary Trent. So AJ Green played 27 minutes, had 12 points, 3 steals. Neither, I don't know, I don't think either are worth rostering. AJ Green has a little bit more upside on the offensive end. He's a good three-point shooter. Andre Jackson, usually a little bit better on the defensive end, but neither are going to do a lot here as long as the Bucks are healthy. Giannis, 43, 13, and 5 with two blocks. Very good. Taurean Prince, threes and steals. 9 points, two steals. Brook Lopez, been pretty inconsistent this year. He had 6 points, three blocks. He's a blocks guy. He probably should be rostered, but pretty underwhelming. And Damian Lillard cooled off a bit here. 14 points on 4 of 15 shooting with three steals. On to the third game of the night, New York and Indiana. The Pacers get the win here, 132 to 121. For the Knicks, Anunoby continues to play pretty well. 25 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. If you drafted him for threes and steals, he's getting you those, and then the points are really a bonus. Cat looks great. Brunson looks good after his slow start to the season. Josh Hart has been serviceable as well, 16 and 10 with 6 assists. So this is what we were seeing from him towards the back end, and this is really just an indication or highlights the fact that the Knicks have no depth at all. Miles McBride played 29 minutes, had 7 points, 2 steals. He's fine if you want to roster him, but I think streaming his spot is probably a better option. For the Pacers, Benedict Mathurin continues to be red hot, 38 points on 13 of 18 shooting. Just ride this while it lasts, while Nesmith is out. Both Nesmith and Nembhard are facing multi-week absences from what we've been told. So Mathurin is a fairly safe play in terms of his role. Siakam, not his best game, 14 and 8. Miles Turner, 26, 6, 1 assist, 2 blocks. He's playing huge minutes because they don't have a center other than him. Tyrese Haliburton finally gets going. If you've been holding him, as I have in one league, 35 points, 14 assists, 2 steals. This is 35 points are probably a bit on the high side. But this is what we've been waiting for. Really good to see. Ben Shepherd stepped into that starting role or maintained that starting role. He only had 3 points. Look, he's probably worth a look as long as he's starting. Jarris Walker had 6 points, 2 steals and a block off the bench. TJ McConnell, 6 points, 3 assists in 16 minutes. I'd keep an eye on him because his minutes, he was coming back here. His minutes could go up. If he can hit 20 to 22 minutes, he has some nice streaming value. The Wizards and the Magic, pretty comfortable win here for the Magic, as they should against this Wizards team. For the Wizards, Carrington suffered an injury. What was his injury? I did read this. Let me just have a look. Carrington. As we load up, eventually, Bob Carrington. Okay, wrist. Yes, wrist injury. All right. So keep an eye on that wrist injury for Bob Carrington. He'd obviously want to play through this, but Wizards have no incentive at all. Koulibaly, 20 points. So he back in the offensive mood here, 20 points on 9 of 11 shooting, 3 blocks, 1 steal, has to be rostered. Kyshawn George, not much on the defensive end, but he had 15 points, 7 rebounds with a steal, has to be rostered. Alex Saar, 11 points, 2 blocks, 1 steal, has to be rostered. Bub Carrington, I'm holding him. Jordan Poole, 24 points. The steals have obviously dropped off. He was red hot in that category to start the season, but not surprisingly, 0 steals here, but still had 24 points, as I said, 4 rebounds. 1 assist, we're holding him, and Corey Kispert off the bench, 25 minutes, 2 points. Too inconsistent for me. Valanciunas, I don't know. If you want to, 8 points, 3 rebounds, a block. But 18 minutes, they're not invested in him at all at this stage. For the Magic, minutes were down a bit here. This was a blowout. De Silva got some good run, but I'm not really targeting him. Franz has been really good. Goga Bidadze, 10 points, 12 rebounds, and a block in 22 minutes. He could have had a nice line here if they'd actually needed to play him in the second half. He is a must roster as long as Wendell is out. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not. Suggs, some foul trouble, five points, four turnovers, not much else. Bad game, move on, it's fine. Mo Wagner had 16.6 rebounds and a steal. He's not a must roster, but he's fine if you're in one of those leagues where you need a certain number of centers. He's okay, but Bidadze is pretty clearly the priority there. Jonathan Isaac had 19 minutes, 5 points, three rebounds, a steal. No need to be holding onto him either. Jim, I do see your question there regarding Melton. We will get to that very shortly when we get to the Warriors game. Miami and Minnesota. Miami get the win, 95-94 for the Heat. Jovic went to the bench. Well, stayed on the bench. Highsmith stayed in the starting lineup. Let's put it that way. He had very little other than five steals and a block. Jovic had 15 points off the bench. I think maybe they stick with this now. Kevin Love had 6 points. We don't need Kevin Love. Why is he even out there, to be honest? Bam Adebayo continues to be average. 9 points, seven rebounds. The seven assists are good. The three blocks, we're not expecting that from Bam. Look, he's fine. I mean, we hold him, but he has been pretty underwhelming. Tyler Hero, we know what he is and what he can do. Terry Rozier, pretty bad. He started the season pretty well, but 11 points here. He had three steals and a block, and that probably buys him another game or two, but he is pushing into drop territory. I wouldn't be dropping him just yet. As for Haywood Highsmith, stream him in. I wouldn't say you need to roster him, but if he's going to start and play 30 minutes, he has a little bit of value there. For the Timberwolves, Mike Conley, again, it's pretty close. He's probably not a drop, although, I mean, you could certainly make a case that streaming his spot as well is going to be more beneficial. He had 4 points, three assists, five rebounds. The three steals make it look a little bit better, but I'd certainly probably rather Dante DiVincenzo at this point. He had 8 6 with four steals and a block. I think I'd rather him. Gobert, 7 and 13, two blocks, a steal. His offense comes and goes depending on the game and the opposition. Jaden McDaniels, 9 points in his 33 minutes. We don't need to pay any attention to Jaden McDaniels. Kevin Love, Lou Dorton. Charlotte and Philly. Philly get the win, a rare win for Philly this year. 107-105 in overtime. For the Hornets, LaMelo was really good, 38, 8 and 4 with two steals. Shooting was pretty poor, 13 of 30, but that's going to happen on a Hornets team that has very, very little in terms of offense. It's basically him and Brandon Miller at this point. When Grant Williams is your third leading scorer with 17, times are tough. So LaMelo, just be ready for some poor shooting games, but everything else really good. Brandon Miller, he was very good as well. Taj Gibson continues to start at center, really out of necessity, but it's Grant Williams who's playing those minutes. We don't need Taj. We don't need Salu, who played 19 minutes, had nothing. Josh Green, don't need him as well. Trey Mann, the minutes are down here. It appears as though his minutes are going to be sort of reliant on his shot. So when his shot's not going in, he just won't play. Probably more of a streamer now at this point. If you are holding him and you can hold him, there's probably a couple of strong games coming up in the next week. It's very up and down. He does nothing else outside of scoring. Cody Martin had 7 points, six rebounds, five assists, two steals in 32 minutes. Yeah, he's fine. If you don't need points, he tends to sort of just find his way into other stats. And Grant Williams, who I said he played 38 minutes, probably worth a look. I don't like him as a player. I don't think he's that good. But he had 17 and 4 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. And if he's going to play 35-plus minutes, he's just going to bumble his way into stats, really. For the Sixers, Caleb Martin had 4 steals in 41 minutes but did basically nothing else. Steals streamer, a little bit like his brother, really. Paul George, 15 points, 9 assists. Look, the numbers are okay. Not probably what you wanted if you drafted him, but you take it. Andre Drummond, only 24 minutes. The Sixers have figured out that he actually isn't that good an on-court player. He gets stats, 13 and 10 here in his 24 minutes, but Embiid will return for their next game. And, I think we can move on from him as soon as Embiid is back. Lowry had 8 points, 5 assists, a steal and a block. He's borderline if you want to. I don't think you need to add him. I know he's starting, but, he's well past it. Kelly Oubre, 8 points. When his shot doesn't fall, he doesn't do anything, but he's probably worth holding on to. Jared McCain had the best game of his career, 27 points. Oh, take a flyer, sure. Are we going to see this again? Probably not. So they really need scoring from anywhere. Yabusele had 20 points off the bench. He's certainly outplaying Drummond at the moment. It will actually be interesting to see when Embiid is back. Maybe the first game might not be a true indication, but if Embiid can come back and stay healthy, I don't know. Drummond might fall out of the rotation here. They might just play Yabusele as the backup in certain situations, and it might be that Drummond doesn't leave the bench. So something to keep an eye on, I think. Golden State and Oklahoma City. We'll get to the Thunder, obviously, in a second, and the injury to Chet. But for the Warriors, Melton moved into the starting lineup. I don't know if this was a matchup thing. Trayce Jackson-Davis only played 5 minutes, but that basically lines up with what Chet did. So, yeah, I don't really pay attention to that. But Melton, certainly, if he is going to start here and play 25, 27, 30 minutes a night, he had 19 and 10 with 3 steals. We know what he can do. I would certainly be adding him if he's available. I'm not certain. I'll just pop Jim's question up now. Would you drop a Kongwu for Melton? Oh, it's hard. Probably at the moment I might. I still like a Kongwu, but he has been pretty bad. And this, I just don't know if it's this this toe thing that's lingering. I'm not sure. I don't think either of them are going to break out like we thought they would. So I think if you were to drop a Kongwu and add Melton, I just don't think a Kongwu in a month is going to be a top 50 player or anything like that, unless this injury gets better. But I think that's an okay move at the moment. Let's pop this one up as well. Cal Chad TTV. I didn't get to catch his game. Was Heald's low output just because Kuminga got hot? Or is the run over? I think it's a bit of both. I think he was never going to keep that shooting up. He was obviously an ad. You needed to roster him. But, yeah, I mean, this is what he relies on, hot shooting. And when he's not shooting the ball well, they're going to look to other players. So he'll be better than this. But with the depth that they have here in Golden State, I just think that there's going to be situations where Heald falls off and then he comes back. So I certainly wouldn't be dropping him after this. Wiggins, pretty good. Draymond Green, people know I'm not that high on him, but he did have 8 points, 11 assists. He should be rostered. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I said he only played 5 minutes, 2 points, 2 rebounds. He's probably a drop anyway. Kuminga had 20 points in his 26 minutes. I think they're just going to go with whoever's hot. So if it's Kuminga, he'll get 26 minutes. If he's not shooting the ball well, he'll get 18. Heald, if he's shooting the ball well, will get 30. If not, he gets 21. Pajemski, if he's shooting the ball well, he'll get up to 27. And if he's not, he gets 15. So many options here in Golden State. Would I drop Roclaren? Would you drop Andrew Wiggins for Melton in a 9-cat roto? In terms of production, probably. Like, I think Melton, we know he can do more across the board. But I think it's pretty clear that Wiggins' role is very secure here. Melton, the minutes up and down. This start came really out of nowhere. And he also has that back issue, so which has been ongoing for the last 12 months. So I probably wouldn't at this point, just because I think Wiggins, he wasn't bad here. Like, Wiggins had 18 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block. Melton was better, I guess, in his minutes, but Wiggins played almost 10 more minutes. So I still think Wiggins is probably the preferred guy there. Onto OKC. Chet Holmgren, 5 minutes, went down. It was a weird looking injury. It's a hip injury. That's what they're reporting. But it doesn't sound too bad. He seems pretty upbeat. Maybe he misses a game or two. And we have had a few hip issues this season, which have sort of ranged. Some of them have been 2 games. Some of them have been 2 weeks. So I probably would prepare for an absence, but it might only be 1 or 2 games. Might have been a bit more of a stinger kind of thing. And then OKC were a bit like, well, we're going to win so many games, this one doesn't really matter. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned at the moment unless we get word that this is more serious than we think. But if we're talking about, rumors it's a fracture. Okay, well, that might have come out, in the last little bit. And if it is, then, God, yes, it is a bad one. Okay, last 10 to 15 minutes. Let me have a look. Thank you for that. Here we go. Shams. Yep. Okay, it's been confirmed. All right. Forget exactly what I said there. A right iliac hip fracture and return to play protocol will be provided in 8 to 10 weeks. All right, so Chet is out for 3 months. Let me move that off there. So, yeah, the question, well, I mean, Hartenstein is probably, what was he, 4 to 6 weeks? He got injured before the season. We're 3 weeks in now, I think, 3 or 4. Look, Hartenstein's probably 2 weeks away. So obviously he will move into a huge role once he's back. As for the next 2 weeks, I don't think there's a clear add, as we saw here, because they just don't have a center. They're going to run a whole lot of small ball. If you look at the guys on the bench from tonight's game, Cason Wallace was obviously the biggest beneficiary. He played 30 minutes. That's not surprising. He's probably worth a look if you need steals and some points. Isaiah Joe, 3 points only. He can't really play at center. There's not really anyone in that starting lineup. They can shift up to center. I guess Lou Dort, maybe, but I wouldn't want to be pushing anyone else up. It's probably Alex Caruso. I guess you could play him at center. The minutes were spread here. Usman Dieng, who only played 11 minutes, he's an option. So I don't actually think there's a clear pickup based on this game. I think if you've got Dort, maybe we hold him. If you've got Cason Wallace, we certainly hold. If not, maybe you want to grab him and see what happens. Caruso, probably a hold as well. It probably is just a wait and see situation here. Whether they look to sign someone, I'm not sure. How aggressively are we trying to target Holmgren? Look, I think if you're comfortable in your standings, you could have a look at who's rostering him in your league. If it's someone that's sort of sitting in the middle of the table or down towards the bottom, then you probably could try and acquire them in a trade, because, I mean, 10 to 12 Well, what did they? What did they say? 10 to 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks. Return to play protocol provided in 8 to 10 weeks. So that basically means he might get surgery. I don't know, but they're not even going to give a timeline on him for 2 months here. So that's if we average 3.5 to 4 games a week for 10 weeks. That's 35 games he's going to miss, which is almost half the year. So this is big, and I mean, we talked about this at the start of the season with Chet, that he was very healthy last year, played in every game, but you just don't know. Like, this was a freaky injury. If you saw it, it was not something you could foresee coming at all. And yes, OKC does make a ton of sense for landing Jonas, and they're going to have to get probably a backup. I said Hartenstein is going to start when he comes in, and he is going to be very good. So check that he's not available. Check that someone hasn't dropped him because they needed to free up his IR spot, because he is going to play a lot. But yes, maybe they do need to get someone like Jonas Valanciunas in to play 20 minutes off the bench behind Hartenstein. I don't know, but this is certainly very big news. With Chet slated to miss 3 months, maybe. And yeah, as I said, I don't see a clear pickup at this point. I would probably just, if you've got a free roster spot, you've got someone who you can just throw out, grab Cason Wallace, grab Alex Caruso, and let's just see what they do with their rotation. But they're going to have to play a lot of small ball because they don't have any other options. All right, moving through to the next game, Dallas and Denver. Denver get the win. Jokic continues to be pretty good. Let's talk about Dallas first. Najee Marshall started again, 36 minutes, 11 points, a steal and a block, 8 rebounds. Look, he's probably worth rostering. I think there's not a lot of upside here, but we know he can sort of chip in both ends. Klay Thompson, is he a streamer, Jas? He's probably slightly better than just a streamer, but he certainly hasn't been great. Gafford has been very good with Derek Lively out. Doncic, not his best game, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal and a block. So numbers still very good, but offensively a little bit quiet. Kyrie, I think I read somewhere that he's the fourth-ranked player at the moment, so very good start to the year for him. And then the bench, we just don't care. For Denver, now, I've got this tweet up here somewhere about Jokic. Now, I was on the Wemby train as number one pick, and Nikola Jokic has made us all look like fools to this point. So this was a tweet that I read. So no one in NBA history has averaged 28, 11, and 11 on 65% true shooting across 10 games. Jokic is averaging 30, 14, and 12 on 67% true shooting through 10 games. So, yeah, we thought he couldn't get any better, and I guess we were wrong. He had 37, 18, and 15 with 3 steals. Yeah, he's number one, and if you've got him, well done. I do have him in one league, which league? And I'm actually struggling in that league, but I think it's because I also have Paolo, and I also have Maxi, and so I've got a lot of injuries, but he's keeping me competitive. Peyton Watson, 16 points. A block, 5 rebounds. He needs to be rostered. With Jamal Murray back, as we expected, Russell Westbrook, not someone we need to roster anymore. 6 points, 5 assists, a steal. Strouther had 12 points in 23 minutes. Just a point streamer. I think Christian Brown, he's been very good, continues to be very good. Sacramento and Phoenix. This one goes into overtime as well. And then DeMar DeRozan takes over. 34 points, not a lot else, but he's looked really good in Sacramento. Keegan Murray, 14 and 14. He's been all right. The scoring is a bit inconsistent, but those rebounding numbers, very impressive. Sabonis, 20, 12 and 5. In his 39 minutes, De'Aaron Fox, he got some late points. He finished with 21 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. Kevin Huerter, 17 points, 3 steals, a block in 35 minutes. probably should be rostered. Malik Monk only lasted 8 minutes in here in this game. So I think we're probably adding Herder. Keon Ellis, maybe, just for steals, though. So, if you need steals, I would be looking at Keon Ellis here because he will be playing good minutes with Monk out for a week or two. Herder, I think, though, if he's starting, is probably the priority. But and he did have three steals here, but you would certainly expect Keon Ellis to be more productive in that category on most nights. For Phoenix, without Kevin Durant, who's out for a couple of weeks, Ryan Dunn started, 8 points, a steal and a block, 21 minutes. I think I'd rather Royce O'Neal here, and that's coming from me, and I don't even think Royce is that good, but he had 8 points, nine rebounds, steal and a block. We saw him do this in Brooklyn a couple of years ago. If he can get 30 minutes a night, he's probably going to put up 12-team value. Nurkic, I think, also left in this one. Someone can probably put in there what his injury was, but I'm sure I saw that he left. Come on, load up. Here we go. Left ankle soreness. That doesn't mean anything. If Nurkic is out, ooh, is it Plumlee time? Maybe. Plumlee played 26 minutes here, 6 and 11 with 6 assists. Look, we know if Plumlee starts and plays 26, 28 minutes a night, he's probably worth adding because he gets good assist numbers. He can get a steal. He can get a block. He's efficient. So just, monitor that. See if Nurkic is going to miss time here. They could certainly go small, but without Kevin Durant there, it's going to be hard. So I'm not sure you could play Ryan Dunn and Royce O'Neal together. So there is a chance here that we may see the cockroach Mason Plumlee put up value for a week if Nurkic is going to miss time. Grayson Allen, 3-point streamer, nothing else. Memphis and Portland, this one was a blowout. We don't need to really dissect this one too much. Memphis were up by about 25 at quarter time. This one was ugly. Brandon Clark started again over Zach Edey. But Zach Edey, very good again off the bench. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 steals, a block. I think Edey should be rostered. I'm holding him in a league. I haven't really thought about dropping him yet. Aldama, worth rostering. Jalen Wells, worth rostering. Scottie Pippen, worth rostering. So many injuries that you just have to be holding these guys. Jake LaRavia, 18 points, 3 steals, 3 blocks in 23 minutes. Probably worth rostering as well. He won't be this good, but part of this is, you play Portland, you put up good stats. And Jay Huff, 12 points, 6 blocks in his 20 minutes. This is really a Portland special. Jay Huff, if you want to stream him in, fine. Yes, Nurkic was a championship winner. Now he's not. Yeah, he's still got an interesting game or like skill set. With a healthy Phoenix team around him, the role is pretty limited for him. For Portland, Shaedon Sharpe moved into the starting lineup here. For Denny Avdia, I think we can move on from Denny. If Shaden's going to start, I think Denny, I tried to hold on as long as we could, but I think we can move on. As for Sharp, he's a hold, but we're going to need to see more than this. This was a blowout, so I guess give him a pass here. But 7 points, 3 rebounds, we need to see other stuff from him. I'm just not really taking anything out of this game. At all, Tamani Kamara is edging towards a drop. I think he probably can, just with the fact that I know this was a blowout, but Portland are going to get blown out because they just don't have a good team. So Kamara is probably someone we can move on from. And last game of the night, Toronto and the Lakers. Lakers get the win despite an injury to Anthony Davis. For the Raptors, Agbaji continues to look pretty good. He had 16 points, 6 rebounds, a block, should be rostered at the moment. I'm not sure this lasts, but as long as he's starting and playing well, we're adding him. Grady Dick had 14 points, 3 assists. Probably he got, I think he hit 2 threes in like 2 minutes or something to start the third quarter. I mean, you take them out and he has 8 points. So, yeah, I think he should still be rostered, but yeah, he could trend towards being a drop. Emmanuel quickly had 12 points, 4 assists, not his best game. RJ Barrett, 18 points, 4 assists. They're sort of just sharing the wealth here. And Scotty Barnes has got to come back at some point, and he's going to impact all these guys. I think the safest is probably Jakob Poeltl, just because he's going to get rebounds, he's going to get blocks. Chris Boucher had 18 points in his 20 minutes. Maybe we stream him. We know Chris Boucher can be a weak special, and then he'll just fall off and do nothing. But if you want to add him, fine. For the Lakers, I said Anthony Davis suffered an eye injury. He had a really good night before that, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal. No word on this injury, as far as I know. Nothing popping up in terms of how severe this is. He got a, was it Poeltl? It might have been Poeltl. It was someone anyway going for a dunk and copped him with their off arm. He went down pretty quickly and didn't return. So, yeah, this is an eye that he has suffered injuries to in the past. So just monitor this. I don't think it'll be a huge absence. I really hope it's not. But if we wanted to maybe look at a positive here, if he has an eye injury that costs him a week, it also gives him a week to rest his foot. So I know it's tough to be without Anthony Davis for a week, but if it means that his foot can heal up a little bit, then maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Rui Hachimura, I think we can move on. I just dropped him in a league and picked up someone. Maybe I picked up Agbaji. I don't know. Anyway, I just dropped him. LeBron James, 19, 10, and 16. He really took over once AD went down. Austin Reeves had a really nice one here, 27 points, 6 assists, a nice behind-the-back pass as well, which will be on highlight reels. Is Hayes an ad? Yeah, look, he's risky because he's got the off-court stuff. I think I streamed him in last week when Anthony Davis missed a game with his foot, and he was okay from memory. Had 8 and 8 in the block or something. Look, I think so. I mean, we haven't heard any word on whether Jackson Hayes is going to miss time. I would assume he might, but there's nothing at the moment that seems imminent. So probably if Anthony Davis, if we get word that he is going to miss a game or two here, Jackson Hayes would be the add. D'Angelo Russell had 15 points off the bench. We're holding him, but it's pretty disappointing. Cam Reddish is starting for some reason. But, yeah, I think they're just trying to find a solid fifth piece to start here. So Hachimura, I said he's probably a drop. His minutes are going to stay, and I think he's at some point he's going to get hot again. So if you do drop him, just keep an eye on it, because there'll be a point where he goes 8 of 12 or something and hits 6 threes and gets 26 points. So they seem pretty committed to starting him, and they just don't know who that fifth starter is at this point. But yes, in answer to that question, I think Jackson Hayes would be an add if Anthony Davis is going to miss time. I assume Keon Ellis is a must add. Yeah, like I said, for steals, yes. Michael Malone does trust Watson because he is playing big minutes. So yes, Peyton Watson, clearly an add. I think I even added him yesterday in the league. I have no idea why he was available. All right. So that will do for tonight's games. Let's have a quick look ahead to tomorrow. There's only 5 games, thank God, less to talk about. The Kings back up tomorrow against the Spurs. For the Kings, Malik Monk, let's assume he's out. He's doubtful, according to the injury report, but I would think that he is probably out. So Kevin Huerter has to be picked up tomorrow at least for streaming purposes, as does Keon Ellis. For the Spurs, no new injuries. Malachi Branham is questionable, but we know Vassell is back. So yeah, guys like Champagne. Castle's been okay, but Vassell, whether he moves back into the starting lineup tomorrow, I don't know, but he will at some point. Brooklyn play the Pelicans. For Brooklyn, Ben Simmons will return after missing the second game of the back-to-back yesterday. He's coming off the bench, it appears, probably playing 25 minutes if you need assists, rebounds, maybe some steals. He is worth a look tomorrow. Jalen Wilson has been pretty up and down. I'm really not looking at him. For the Pelicans, still going through a ton of injuries, but Trey Murphy is probable to return. He will be limited. He's not going to play. He's not going to play 30 minutes or anything like that. I think he will be probably closer to 20 than 30, but good to see him back. But until we get DeJounte and Herb and all these guys back, Alvarado needs to be rostered. Boston needs to be rostered. Misi probably needs to be rostered, but he has been a little bit underwhelming. Javonte Green has been okay as well. But really take your pick there from their lineup. Washington will back up tomorrow against the Rockets, who are also backing up Bob Carrington. Questionable officially. Let's say he's out. I don't know. I'm going to say I think he's out. Kyshawn George, yes. Saar, yes. Koulibaly, yes. Poole, yes. Valanciunas, yeah, maybe. If Carrington is out, maybe they move Kispert into that shooting guard role there. He might be worth a look if you just need some points and threes tomorrow for the Rockets. They're pretty healthy at the moment. So I said Eason and Thompson both probably should be rostered. Jabari Smith, if you had him, hold him for tomorrow and then maybe he can do something tomorrow. But if not, I think he's probably a drop. Clippers will play the Thunder. So this will be interesting without Chet. Clippers are still going to start Zubats pretty clearly. And if they're controlling the game, Zubats probably plays big minutes. If they're not, if Thunder get out to a good lead here, Zubats, I mean, we're not dropping him or doing anything, but he might only play 20 minutes tomorrow because they could go very small. They could play a bit of Derek Jones at the center. Nick Batum can play center. And then maybe we get a bit more of Kevin Porter or Chris Dunn. So there could be a little bit of streaming value in here if the game goes the way of the Thunder and the Clippers have to sort of match their small ball lineup. And then I talked about the Thunder, Isaiah Joe, Caruso, Dort. Yeah, they just take your pick here. Cleveland then play Chicago. Cleveland are just rolling along at the moment. LeVert, yep, probably add him. He's been pretty good. If you need assists and steals, I just streamed him in, picked him up, whatever we want to say, in one league. And for the Bulls, LaVine is probable, which means Dosunmu is borderline, but with only five games, you probably hold him tomorrow. He's been okay. Steals are way down. You sort of expect Dosunmu to be a steal a game. He's at 0.1 or something, so he must only have one steal for the year. But, yes, if he gets 30 minutes, probably roster him. If he's under 30, probably not. So let's see if LaVine plays. I'm assuming he will, but on a low-volume day, you probably keep holding. Let's take that off the screen. Probably keep holding Dosunmu. That will do. That was a bit longer because we had that Chet news. Let me just make sure there's nothing else that has come out. No, nothing else. I will be tomorrow. Yep, I'll be here doing a show tomorrow. We might have a look at just go through rosters or something and have a look at injuries or something like that to fill a bit of time tomorrow. But that'll do. I'm going to go and start some dinner. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I am Adam King. This has been the Sunday post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.